In today's economy, many are sitting with heavy questions about their careers, finances, and work-life balance. Maybe you're wondering if working two jobs is worth your valuable time and energy, or how to be more available to yourself and your family, or if now is the right time to make that career transition, career advancement, or jump into entrepreneurship. Hi, my name is Tara Hayslip. I'm the CEO of Grounded Energy 111, international best-selling author, and spiritual career mentor. I help entrepreneur women and corporate career women create soul-aligned careers around their lifestyles. If you are or have been feeling like you want to do more with your career by making that change, advancement, or start your own business, I invite you to my free monthly workshop, the Be a Boss Workshop, where you'll meet other women going through similar career transitions and experience an interactive group coaching workshop. For more information, follow me on Instagram at grounded_energy111, join the Grounded community through my link tree and my Instagram bio, check things out on my website at www.groundedenergy111.com, or email me at tara@groundedenergy111.com, and I look forward to connecting with you soon.
All right. Good morning. Thank you for joining us. Do us a favor and tell our listeners who you are and what do you do?
So I'm Marianne, and I help people see the light inside of them and shine it so brightly that they can't help but see how amazing they are.
Oh, that's a nice description. Awesome. Awesome.
Wow. Yeah. So I'm a little bit different because that's what I do. That's what I help people with, but I actually have a day job and I have a business on the side. But I always joke, although it's not a joke, that I'm an entrepreneur in an employee's body. And so I was self-employed for several years. And then I went back to the profession that I used to work in, which is the bankruptcy industry. So it's helping people navigate tough financial situations. But I treat it like my job. I mean, I think once you're an entrepreneur, you're never not an entrepreneur. And so you take that with you wherever you go.
That's true. So what do you love most about being an entrepreneur?
Oh, I would have to say that the fact that it allows you to be the full expression of who you are. And again, I think I offer a bit of a different insight into this because I do have a day job and I love it, but you still can only be so much of who you are in a day job because you're working for someone else and you're under the, you know, confines of that particular profession. But when you're an entrepreneur and you have your own business, it's you're birthing something, you're creating something. You get to be exactly who you are and you get to bring, you know, that to your business. And so the creativity aspect of it and the expression aspect of it, I think, is what I love most.
I love that. So when did you make the transition initially? How did you become an entrepreneur?
Yes. Well, that was many, many years ago. So let's say 30 some. And I was working, so in the same industry I'm in now, and I had been there about 10 years, and I was very bored. You know, looking back, you kind of wonder how it happens, but I was in a coaching group. I joined a coaching group called Own Your Own Business. And I was kind of playing around with things on the side, but didn't really know what I wanted to do. But it was that, you know, it was meeting the right people at the right time in the right group that ignited that passion within me. And then once that happened, I wasn't happy at my job anymore, because then I recognized the discourse between the two. And, you know, I literally, you know, walked off the proverbial ledge. You know, I just kind of walked off into entrepreneurship, left my job and became an entrepreneur. And took the proverbial jump off the ledge, I guess.
You took
the leap. Walk on the wild side.
Jump right off and jump right in.
Wow. So what did you find most challenging about that jump?
Oh, I mean, financially, I left a good paying job. And, you know, I think that when we're embarking in something that we're passionate about, we have this idea that it's just going to be successful, because of course you're passionate about it and you're excited and you know, and you're in that state of mind where, you know, the world is my oyster and everything's possible. So, you know, I think I thought it would go a lot more smoothly financially than it did. And so that was definitely a big struggle, was transitioning from this paycheck, you know, paycheck mindset to right. this self-employed money coming in sporadically, need to kind of really cut the budget out for a while mentality.
I can see that. I can see that. And then what I also remind people of, you also have to think of, not only do you have money coming in sporadically, but you have things that normally come out of your paycheck that's not coming out of your paycheck.
Yes.
Like your health and your dental. And then you have to figure out, okay, how am I going to pay extra for these services? Am I going to do the marketplace or what have you? And when you do those, you got to pay all your premiums up front, as opposed to it coming out, you know, your paycheck. Yeah. So those are some expenses that we don't even think about, you know, so definitely it's a big difference there.
Yeah.
So tell us about your circle, your family and friends. How has your entrepreneurship impacted those? Has it impacted it positively or negatively?
A little bit of column A, a little bit of column B. So I come from a family of entrepreneurs. My dad was very entrepreneurial. My mom was a stay-at-home mom. And, you know, just to kind of add that element that I kind of come by it honestly. So my family, my siblings, I mean, we have a lot of entrepreneurs in there. And they got it because, you know, again, we come from that, you know, tapestry. As for my personal family, you know, I'm pretty sure my husband thought I was crazy and, you know, leaving a job and doing something. And, you know, the first thing I didn't work out. And the second thing I did didn't work out. And maybe the third thing I did didn't work out. And so that created certainly some struggles and havoc in my personal relationship. Because all of a sudden we didn't have steady cash flow and, you know, blame and stress and fear and all of that enters into that relationship. So we definitely navigated some tough times throughout that process.
Oh, definitely. Wow.
Yeah.
So, like, what's one thing that you know now that you wish you knew when you started?
Oh, my goodness. There's probably a bunch of things. You know, I think there's this discourse between thinking you have to spend money to make money. And I've never been a big believer of that, because I also believe that that keeps people from moving forward, and that sometimes you just need to move forward, mm-hmm. you know, to get the momentum. Having said that, mm-hmm. I think I would have had a few more ducks in a row prior to making that leap. So, you know, I made the leap with debt. That didn't work out well at all. In fact, it led me down the bankruptcy route. So, you know, when I'm in an industry that I can speak about, honestly, because I've been there, done that. And it was just a struggle trying to move forward without the resources that you need, at least the expertise. Like, there's stuff that you can get that you don't pay a lot for, but thinking that you're just going to go it alone is really challenging. So I think I would have aligned with, you know, some key people earlier on to get the advice that I need. And I would have had a little bit of a nest egg just to get that ball rolling.
I love that. And when you said, you know, it takes money to make money, and you have a point, there is that caveat, because a lot of people, they will stay stuck and frozen and they won't take the leap. They won't, you know, do anything because they're like, oh, well, I need to have money. And like I told somebody, for me personally, when I took the leap, it was kind of like, there would never be a good time. There would never be enough money. I just mm-hmm. needed to do it. But what people need to be mindful of, when we say it takes money to make money, sometimes that's just, it may not be a large investment. It may just be a $25 class on business or marketing or something like that, of that nature. It's not necessarily hundreds upon thousands of dollars. It's just sometimes you have to invest a little bit, instead of, at some point in time in our entrepreneurship, we have to stop doing free and actually pay for something to get the quality information that we need. So, but don't let that stop you from even starting the journey. So I totally understand that.
Yeah. And I would completely agree with that. And, you know, and I think too, that you, when you are an entrepreneur, because, you know, funds initially are very tight, you've got to live mm-hmm. within that. You can't live the way you did before. And, you know, being prepared to adjust your lifestyle while you're getting, mm-hmm. you know, getting going, getting your feet on the ground.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So far on your journey, what's been the worst thing that's happened that you had to, you know, build yourself back up from, a reset?
You know, it's funny because I'm a glass half full kind of gal, and you know, the eternal optimist. So, you know, from a higher level perspective, when you ask me that question, I look back and go, none of it was terrible because I learned so much along the way. And, you know, I did jump off that ledge and, you know, went into entrepreneurship, and I didn't make a lot of money, and I incurred a lot of debt, and, you know, and that was stressful. And, you know, my husband and I had issues that was stressful, but we've come through that. You know, I did end up going back to work, and now I'm running a business on the side. I think that's been a very good move for me personally, because it gives me that stability and the ability to grow my business. Probably, I guess the only thing that I would really say, I'm not much for regret, so it is a hard question, but, you know, trying to do everything on my own. I think that's probably the one that I would pull out, is, you know, not reaching out for help, not aligning with other like-minded individuals, just kind of, I'm kind of a go-it-alone kind of person. I don't necessarily accept a lot of, you know, help and support. You can't do it alone. You know, they say it takes a community to raise a child. Well, it takes a community to build a business.
Right, you're right. In a way, it's a baby.
It is a baby. Good point, because it is. Yeah. I mean, you're birthing this, like I said that at the beginning, right? You're birthing this idea, you're birthing this business. And you need a community. And it doesn't have to cost a lot of money. I mean, recently in my the business I'm working on now, I just created a mastermind group. You know, I'm not running it. It's key people. I've been looking for the right people to bring in. We're all coming to the table. We're all in similar businesses, and we're going to help each other move forward and grow our business.
That's good. So on the flip side, what's the best thing that's happened to you since this journey started?
Oh my gosh, I'm a completely different person. So, you know, going back to what I said, you know, I was in a job, I was bored. And then I left and I sowed my entrepreneurial oats for 7 years. That's what I always say, that I was self-employed for 7 years. And the job I was doing, or the business I was doing when I was self-employed, our meetings were early morning. They were 7 a.m. in the morning. And anyway, I had babies. I got pregnant and had two children. I couldn't do that anymore. So I left and went back to my old job. There's a reason that I'm answering questions. The reason I'm going here. So I went back to the job I was in before, a completely different person. And this job that I was bored in at that time, I'd been there 10 years. I've now been back in that job for 12 years, and I have not been bored once. I love every minute of it because I'm a completely different person than I was before going on that entrepreneurial journey. Like, I think that when you go on that journey, it changes you, you know, at a core level and makes you a completely different person. And that benefits you in your life in so many ways that you don't see at the time.
You had a mindset shift.
And just changed. Yeah. Mindset shift. And it's just, a mindset shift. That's probably the best way to say it. So, it just changed me completely.
And, you know, there's nothing wrong with the fact that you have your side business and you have a 9-to-5. There's nothing wrong with that. And we need to get rid of that stigma within the entrepreneurial community, because like you said, that was what's best for you. You know, everybody's journey is different. So there's absolutely nothing wrong with it. You're still an entrepreneur. You're still a business owner, you know? So that's one key thing about that.
But yeah, and you know, and that. Pastor, you asked me, like, what would I do differently? I think was one of the questions you asked me. And, you know, looking back, I don't know if I would have did this differently, maybe stayed at my job and built the business a little more before I transitioned, possibly. But again, I was a different person then. And I was just, I really disliked going to work every day. So I don't know that that would have hindered me more than helped me. But, you know, I love what you're saying about, do you go by Marlene? Because it's Team Marlene.
Yes, tomorrow.
So I love what you're saying, Tamara, is that, you know, a lot of people think that, you know, they have a lot of guilt because they're staying in their job while they're starting their business, or because they left it and started the business. And, you know, I think there is some value to being there, you know, and leveraging the income you have from that to build your business using that transition phase or that transition period.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I even know people who ended up, because of finances or whatever life circumstances, they ended up putting their business on hold to go back. But that's fine, because when you come back to it, and they do plan on coming back to it, when you come back to it, you're going to be in a better mindset. You'll also know how to, restarting is different from starting. You know, yes, what I'm saying? You already have some knowledge. So that's absolutely fine. And we just have to give ourselves grace and say, you know what, it's okay.
Yeah. And you know what, I guess that's what I did. I didn't realize that's what I did, but because I did leave the entrepreneur world and went back. And even though I love my job and love what I do, there was still that piece of me that yearned to, you know, be a fuller expression of who I am and what I do and who I'm here to serve. And I did go back also into the entrepreneur world, a different person, right? Having had that experience. And it was, you know, I found it much easier the second time, but it also happened more organically the second time. So it was more of me realizing that I couldn't serve the people I was meant to serve in my job fully, and, you know, kind of transitioning that into creating my own business around that. So I think I was following more of my guidance and insight the second time, as opposed to the first time, oh, you know what, I just got it. So that's what happens when I follow my guidance and insight. The first time I was moving away from something, and so there were a lot of challenges. I was moving away from a job I didn't like, but I didn't know what I wanted. This time I'm moving towards something that feels right, that I know that I love. It's a different experience.
It is. It totally is. When I had went back to one of my jobs, it was like I had this more confidence of, you know what, this is temporary. I can leave at any point in time. It's not where they have their thumb on my neck. You know what I'm saying? It's a totally different feeling. So I felt less stressed about the day in and day out, you know, because I knew what I had, you know, on the other hand, you know, I knew what I had, I knew what I was doing. So it definitely felt different. So yeah. Question for you, have you had any crazy things happen to you? Any crazy clients or anything like that?
I mean, not so much in my business per se, just because the nature of my business, like I said, it's helping people tap into their inner light and shine that. So I tend to attract people who, you know, are kind of done with crazy and drama, and they, and you know, they're ready to shine their light and be the brilliant, amazing beings that they are. But you know, it's what I've seen, which is really fascinating within that, is, you know, someone who constantly fought with their spouse. I mean, to the point where, you know, arguing, not talking, locking each other out of the door. And these are not like teenagers. These are like, you know, mature people, and just completely shift the way they interact with their spouse, you know, as a result of the transformation taking place. Like, that's the kind of stuff I see in my business, which is very different from my day job, which I do see crazy because I work in the bankruptcy industry. And so, you know, in that industry, I'm seeing people all the time. I had a couple in that won $10 million and they were in declaring bankruptcy 10 years later.
Wow.
Yeah. So, you know, talk about mindset and money mindset, and they just went crazy and there was no plan, and they spent and they went on trips and, you know, and they ended up owning a bunch of stuff, but they had no money. And then they leveraged all the stuff they owned to get money. And then I've seen crazy in that industry.
Wow.
That kind of points out, like, that's what I mean by, in my day job, I can't fully express what I'm here to do, because I am here to help people really be the amazing beings they are. In the bankruptcy industry, I can only take that so far, because we're talking about just the financial piece. But in my business, which is your spiritual hostess, and I have the Shine Tribe, it's really about, you know, I'm ready to emerge. Like, how do I do that and help me connect my inner wisdom and guidance? And, you know, and it's all those things that I've used in my life, certainly in being an entrepreneur, in creating a business, in creating the relationships, connecting with the people I need to connect to. Like, that's, to me, that's the magic of living in aligned with yourself in the miracle zone, is you get to have all these amazing things happen in your life, and you just kind of ride the wave of abundance. I mean, that's where we all want to be.
Right. It's funny that you mentioned that, because I recently had made a post about the whole the whole mindset, the poverty mindset that we like to use a lot of times. People are having a poverty, and we use it sometimes. I see a lot of people use it as a way to talk down to people who aren't spending a certain amount of money on their business or what have you. And, oh, you're just in a poverty mindset. Well, the thing is that, and that couple that you mentioned is a good example. They had the money and they were just spending it all. But and what I said on my post was that there are a lot of rich people that still have the poverty mindset, just because they have the money, because they're, you have some that are scared to spend at all because they don't want to go back. And then you have some that's just like, just spinning like water because they're not, they haven't switched their mindset to value things and try to actually stretch the dollar that they have, you know. So a poverty mindset isn't just because somebody isn't willing to give you $500 to sit and listen to your class, you know what I'm saying? Exactly. It's a little bit more than that. So and that just drives me crazy that it's, a lot of times I see people use it as they're just talking down to somebody because they feel like, well, you should pay me the $1,500 I'm telling you to pay me to be a coach, but because you're not, you're having poverty mindset. And that's not necessarily true. So I'm glad you kind of mentioned that a little bit. That's aligns with that.
Yeah. And I think poverty mindset too is the way we price our products and services, right? We tend to price them low because we're afraid that we won't attract the right number of people if we price it higher. Like that was a conversation I had a couple of times already this week.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yes. Pricing is a big issue, no matter what industry. We were just talking about that earlier. Mm-hmm. I was talking about pricing my paintings. It's like, I wasn't doing the pricing the right way. And it's just like, you have that, you know, it's like, okay, if I price it too high, nobody's going to ever buy it. But then there are certain services where if you price it low, be prepared to get a certain clientele.
Yes.
And that's not to say you're going to get, and that certain clientele may not be quote unquote poor. It may be some cheap bastards.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's like you said. Yeah, no, exactly. And you said that, like, I want to attract people who are ready to shine their light. Well, you know, too low of a price point, I'm going to attract maybe more people who are in victim mode. Well, I can't help someone in victim mode because you have to be beyond that in order for me to help you shine your light. So that's a whole nother level that needs to be served somewhere else.
Right. And you could get some penny pinchers that just really don't want to spend the money. So they may micromanage you. Yes. So, you know what I'm saying? So it doesn't necessarily mean that they just don't have the money and they won't. No, it could just be somebody that just doesn't want to spend the money. So yeah, I love that.
That's so crazy. So Marianne, what do you listen to get in those Zen moments when you got to align and get ready for your day? What do you listen to? What's on your playlist?
So I tend to listen to a lot of podcasts. So obviously, and you know, that's an interesting question because as you're asking me that, I'm kind of reflecting. And when I started out, I soaked up podcasts, speakers, free stuff online, anything to do with spirituality and energy and, you know, miracle zone, like all of that. And I just soaked that up like crazy for the first several years. And it gave me, it propelled me forward. You know, now what do I listen to? I guess a little bit of the same, but honestly, I'm more into kind of marketing stuff. So I find a lot of the stuff I'm listening to now is more on, marketing or marketing sales, you know, get motivational type speakers, like that tends to be the stuff that I'm gravitating more towards, which I didn't actually realize until you just asked me that question. So thank you for that insight, because I've shifted. I feel like I got the base of the knowledge I need, because it was all about knowledge initially. What do I need to know and be an information junkie? And I've built that wealth of knowledge. And now I'm noticing from that the insight you just gave me that what I'm focusing on is now how to take that knowledge out in my own program and help others.
Yeah, you're evolving.
I am. I mean, other than that, good old rock and roll. I mean, that's what Yeah. So aside from the mindset, I listen to a local rock and roll station. That's my jam.
Awesome. So here's the question for you. What makes an entrepreneur successful to you? And do you consider yourself successful at this point?
Oh, another great question. Love these questions. Yeah. So, so when you said you consider yourself successful, my initial response to that was to say yes. And then a little part of me back here went, well, wait a minute, you're not making the money you expected to make. And then I told that to go away because that doesn't define success. Exactly. So yeah, so I think success for me is that, you know, again, you're aligned with your business and your goals and your objectives that you want to do, and you continue to follow them. And, you know, and you recognize that the path may not go the way that you think it's going to go initially, but that doesn't mean you get off it. So I think success is just staying true to that and staying committed to that. And I forget the other part of the question because I jumped to the second part.
Do you consider yourself, what makes the, well, you kind of answered them both, but what makes the entrepreneur successful? And do you consider yourself a success right
now? So I guess, yes. And I would say, because I don't give up, and, you know, and it's evolving. I think it's really important to make the point that when you have a business, it evolves, and it may not go the way that you thought it was going to go initially. And if I look back at all those years ago when I started, I can see the common thread that ran through all the different things I did, but it took quite some time and some experience and some, you know, training and some testing before I got it to the point where I realized what I'm doing now is what I was always supposed to be doing. And I was doing it in dribs and drabs in different ways before, but it just started to come together really, you know, in the last several years.
I love that.
Okay. Yeah. Well, the crazy thing is, in the previous question, you gave us an example of it, but how do you deal with managing like doubt and imposter syndrome on a daily basis?
Well, first of all, I'm a huge advocate of fake it till you make it. So I think everyone should have that on their wall. So I think that, you know, a lot of people think of this, I love that you said imposter syndrome, because I think a lot of people think that there's something wrong with that, and there isn't anything wrong with that, because you need to be in the energy of being who you want to be and being successful to be who you want to be and be successful. So, you know, so fake it till you make it to me isn't that you're not really faking it. You're just allowing yourself to, you know, operate in a level that's above where you think you are. And same where you think you are, because you're not actually there. And that grows, that gets momentum, and that grows. So, you know, I think that's really important. And again, I went off on a tangent for the first part of that. By the way, I channel when I talk, so I go into La La Land and often.
That's fine. But no, you were talking about, well, we were talking about imposter syndrome and self-doubt. How do you handle that? But you mentioned a good part about the whole imposter syndrome. My mentor, he had me look into identity shift. And that is basically the same thing that you were talking about. You, instead of just saying, oh, I'm going to be, or I want to be, you actually operate in the I am. So say, for example, if you want to be a triathlete, well, start doing triathlete things and consider yourself already that. You know, so it is faking it till you make it, but when the self-doubt and imposter syndrome come in, that's where it questions you, like, who do you think you are? Who the hell do you think you are? And that's where that dividing line is. So definitely, I agree. Fake it till you make it, already sit in that identity of who you want to be, but also know how to combat those negative thoughts that are like, well, who do you think you are? Because I know last year, what I ended up doing is I ended up actually applying for larger speaking gigs and larger situations that I would have never applied for. And I got them, you know what I'm saying? So that's how you knock out that imposter syndrome.
Yeah, and that's the whole fake it till you make it. Yeah, and that was exactly what I mean by that fake it till you make it, is like, I'm gonna be a big stage speaker. I am a big stage speaker. I don't feel like it, but I'm gonna be it. And then I'm gonna apply and I'm gonna go there and I'm going to show up and I'm going to do it. So you're kind of faking it in a way, but you're not, because it is who you are. And then you're like, holy crap, I did that.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And so the self-doubt piece for me, I think, is, you know, we all have it. So I think you just recognize it. We have it. It's part of who we are. It's old programming, it's fake programming, it's wrong programming, it's something someone else put in our heads. It doesn't make it any less real to us or any less debilitating. But when you see it that way and you go, there it is again, I'm just going to ignore you and I'm going to move forward. We talked about in one of the talk we had in our groups about fear, you know, which the fear acronym is, well, it's funny because I got stuck on the new one and not the old one. So I can't even think of the old one right now, because the new one that came through is feel everything and rise.
Ooh, I like that.
And I love that, with, because that's what you do. You feel it and then you rise above it. Oh, false evidence appearing real. There, I remembered. Because that's what fear is. It's false evidence. It appears real. We're stuck in it. Sure. You just feel it and you rise and you just move on. And I did that with, so the kind of core of my business now came from doing card readings, Oracle Tarot card readings. And that's what gave me the confidence to do what I needed to do. But I realized at some point, they're just cards. I don't need those. It's about bringing in guided messages to people. So I tap into a deeper place of wisdom that they sometimes don't even know exists, or, you know, can't tap into. And I bring advice through there that's, you know, at a soul level, it's soul advice. And when I started doing that, I was doing it with friends and family, and I was constantly thinking, oh, but I know them. Oh, but, you know, I'm just saying this because I know the person. Mm-hmm. And so I had to step out of my comfort zone, and I'm like, well, then I'm going to do it for people I don't know. And so then I went and did readings for people I don't know. And they're like, wow, how did you know that? And, you know, you're bang on. And so that's what gave me the confidence, because I stepped out of that comfort zone and went, okay, this isn't coming from me. It's coming from somewhere else. So I felt everything, and I rose, just like you did when you went on those speaking gigs.
I love it. So tell us, what's next for you? Where you see yourself going with your business?
So I can talk about what I think I see now, but as I said, it's ever evolving and it's growing. Mm-hmm. So I have a group program right now, and I'm looking to fill that, because this is really interesting. Because I actually had a coaching call last week, and I've been told this more than once, and they've said, you have a great program, you have a great system, you need a higher priced coaching program. Like, you could literally just do that and coach like 5 or 6 people and there's your business. And I'm like, yeah, I don't want to do that. That's not what I want to do. I want to reach a bunch of people, and I want to help motivate and encourage them, because that's what I feel compelled to do. And that was a real eye opener for me. So what's next for me is growing that Shine Tribe, so that I have more people that I'm helping them change their lives, because that's what I'm passionate about. And likely, you know, because we're getting back into doing things in person, and I'm such a people person, teaching, training, speaking, like, that's always been a passion for me. So I'm looking at how to bring that into an element of my business at this point, as opposed to the one-on-one or the small group structure.
Awesome. And you know, you don't always have to, that's one thing I talk about with other entrepreneurs, is that a lot of times the end goal for some people are, you have less people and bigger, they're higher tickets. So, you know, you coach 3 people at 10 grand a pop, there you go, you know, but everybody doesn't have to do that. And I always bring up, you know, the Tiny Business Book. She has a multi-million dollar business, but she only has like 15 employees, because that's how she's always wanted to stay small. And so people need to stop thinking that everybody has to grow grandiose. Growth doesn't necessarily mean bigger. Sometimes it can be linear, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So, you know, that is a point as well.
Yeah. And I think it's just so important to stay true to, you know, to your heart's desire and what you're doing this for, and, you know, your purpose and your passion. And that's, you know, that's where I am right now, is looking at, okay, I've got it to this point. What's the next stage? Where do I want to take this? And now I'm exploring different ways to do that, and talking to different people about how best to do that.
It's like they say, they have the saying on social media now, you know, when God gave you vision, it wasn't a conference call.
Yeah, love it.
Definitely. So you've given us a lot of information and stuff that we can build upon as entrepreneurs, but What's one final piece of advice that you would give a new entrepreneur trying to start this journey?
Yeah, I think that the really, if I kind of had to wrap it up into a little gift and tie a neat little bow on it, you know, find what makes you happy, tap into your passion and, you know, your passion and your purpose and align with that. And don't be in such a hurry that you need to figure it all out right now and you need to get it all perfect. Like, you know, we've all heard the saying, if you do what you love, you never work a day in your life. Right. And so when you can align with that and then just be open to how do I expand this? How do I grow this? How do I, you know, reach the right people? Make it fun and play with it, but always be connected to your passion and your purpose. That's what's going to lead to prosperity.
I love that. I love that. And you know what I add to that, though? I tell people, you got it. When it starts to become more of a job and less of what you love, you need to figure out, okay, what am I doing in this business? Because when we are entrepreneurs, we wear all the hats. Well, sometimes those hats need to come off and you get back to the core essence of what you love. And so, yeah, because I went through that. It was like, okay, they say when you do what you love, you know, you love what you're doing. And it's just like, okay, I'm not loving this right now. And it was the business aspect of it. It was all the admin work, the emails and the this and the that and the other. So I had to get back to the core of designing and issue out the other, you know, the other tasks. I love that.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're right, because every one of us sets out to be an entrepreneur and do what we love, but then we instantly become business owners and accountants and bookkeepers and administrators. So it's so important that you stick with what, you know, drives you, and eventually those other things you might need some, you know, help with them to get them off your plate. But yeah, when it stops being fun, course correct.
Yes, yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Well, it's definitely been a pleasure. Mm-hmm. And like Pastor Tori said, you have dropped a lot of good gems. How can our listeners follow up with you and find you on social media?
Yeah, so I made it really easy. One of the things I learned being an entrepreneur and business names is it's my own name. So MaryAnnMarriott.com is where you will find me. And that actually links to everything that I do. And then honestly, I mean, a Google search, you find me on LinkedIn, you find me on Facebook. I'll make sure that, of course, you have the links as well. But if you just look up my name, you're going to find me there.
Awesome. Awesome. Okay. Awesome. Well, thank you.
IRS notices can be intimidating, but waiting to act could cost you your valuable taxpayer rights. Don't try to handle the IRS alone. These agents are trained to trap you into agreements designed to collect as much money as possible. Don't pay thousands of dollars to a marketing company claiming to be a tax resolution firm. Get behind the shield. The enrolled agents at Elite 8 Tax and Financial Services are experts at tax resolution, protecting taxpayers' rights, and are federally licensed to represent taxpayers before the IRS. Elite 8 Tax and Financial Services has the knowledge, skill, and experience to assist you with audit representation, liens, levies, offers in compromise, innocent spouse relief, wage garnishment, back taxes, and more. Don't lose sleep, time, or your rights as a taxpayer. Make your appointment today at elite8financial.com to schedule a consultation and get the IRS off your back. Get behind the shield.
Welcome to this week's episode of Entrepreneurship Happens. Don't forget to hit the subscribe and to share so we can continue to grow. On this week's episode, we speak with spiritual guide, Marianne Marriott, as she takes us through her journey and how she helps other entrepreneurs. Enjoy.
Are you an entrepreneur or a small business owner? Or is your target audience entrepreneurs or business owners? Then we definitely have a spot for you. Become an advertiser or an actual guest on our podcast. We are stepping forward and we'd love to have you a part of our team. Send an email to info@entrepreneurshiphappens.com and we'll get right back to you and get you all scheduled and on our list. See you then.
Hope you enjoyed today's show. If you did, leave us a review or a comment. We also take voice messages. Stay tuned for our next week, where we speak to social worker Norica Jackson, who makes mental health a priority not only for herself, but for others. See you next time.